There is nothing worse than potential unrealized. We all have things that hold us back. What if we could find a way to get us unstuck? I'm Lichelle Weamy, and I am going to walk alongside you as you make the decision to get unstuck. Tune in as I help you realize that you are not alone, inspire hope, and offer practical solutions to help you step boldly into the life that you are meant to live.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Unstuck podcast. Today, I get a chance to interview my friend, Val Hurd. Val and I met through some mutual friends, and oh my gosh, like, has God given me an amazing person to walk through this life with. Val, you are an inspiration, both personally and through your business. You've mentored me in so many different ways, and I am just beyond blessed to have you in my life. So thanks for hopping on today and letting my audience get to know you a little bit better.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for having me today. It's quite the honor.
Okay, girl. So I want to let you just take a moment and brag on yourself a little bit. You can thank God for it. You can do whatever, because I know it's hard for us, but I want you to paint a picture of kind of what you're up to these days. How would you describe yourself and the roles that you're playing right now?
Oh my gosh. So there are so many things swimming around my mind right now. So, and absolutely glory to God first of all things. Right now, being a mom is a little challenging. And so I wear a lot of different hats. I wear the mom hat, the wife hat, the business owner hat, all the things. And it always feels like I'm doing 20 different things in a day. I don't know if any of you can relate to that or not, but gosh, I feel like I'm like this little ping pong ball bouncing from one thing to the next. And I'll tell you, it's really hard to stay focused and okay, this is what I need to do. So
tell me a little bit about your business, because you're successful and I know that you're not going to brag on yourself, but I need to ask you. So you've been a business owner for how long?
So originally I owned about 4 flower shops and greenhouses. And while I loved that work, it's really difficult to make a living, especially in a small town in Iowa. And so I had to pivot. I had some life things happen and I had to make some changes. And today, so for the last 8 years, I've worked with a wellness company. I'm an executive director. I have the coolest job on the planet because I can help people learn about toxins in their home and toxins in the environment. And I'm super passionate about helping women change their life from a financial standpoint because I was there. So you're right. I will not brag on myself. I need to get a little bit better at that. So my good friend Jen said to me, I was actually a guest on her team call the other day, and she said, Val is the most humble person I've ever met. I don't know if I would go that far, but so I've grown my business to about 3,900 customers in the last 8 years. And President's Club, which is the top 14 businesses in the company four years in a row. So 2016, 17, 18, and 19. No, that's not right. 14, 15, 16, and 17. Yes, 2014, 15, 16, and 17. So I'm just trying to do the things and help the people. And you know, when my business changed, it was my mindset that changed. And I started thinking about who can I help and how can I help them? Yes. And everything changed from there.
And so not only do you help people to have healthy homes through the wellness part of it, but you also are a coach and a leader to other business owners who do what you do. How many mm-hmm. people do you lead currently right now?
Well, there's a lot. So last time I looked, we had over 280 that were building in our business. But I like to... I'd say right now I have 9 that I'm getting started. And so once we get to a point, there's some things, right, that you have to do. Yeah. But a lot of it comes when they're new and they're learning and when they don't believe in themselves. And my wish for a lot of my team is if you don't, I've only ever mentored two people that had it to begin with, but I wish that people could see the value that they have in themselves. And I wish they could see themselves the way that I see them.
Yes. Well, so I'm
just breathe that into them. Yes. And over and over. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So what I want you to do is when this podcast episode airs, I want you to listen to the words that I used to describe you. And I want you to let that soak in so that you can do that for yourself, because you are such a giver of people. And one of the things that I've recognized is that when we accept compliments, we're thanking God for them. We're not necessarily thanking the person who's giving them. We're thanking God for giving you the opportunity to do whatever it is that you're being thanked for. And so I love that, because that's where I can be more receptive of compliments, because I'm just like you. It makes me uncomfortable and I feel like it's not me at all, right? Okay, so you're very successful. You're somebody I look up to. You're somebody that I go to for advice. So thank you for that. I would love for you to tell me a little bit about kind of the journey that you went on to get to where you are. Kind of give us an insight to things that you've had to overcome yourself.
Sure. So 11 years ago, my husband died from ALS and left me widowed at age 35 with a 5, 9, and 11-year-old. And we had been battling that illness for 5 years. And so I look back and I don't even recognize that girl. And walking out of the funeral that day, I remember this overwhelming feeling. So in the back of our church, as you're walking out, mm-hmm. there's this beautiful row of windows. Mm-hmm. And you can go right to the parking lot or left to the parking lot. And I remember thinking, as I was walking, trying to like have my arms around all of them, thinking, wow, this is just me now. And what am I going to do? How am I going to change their life? How am I going to show them that you can have sunshine and a rainbow after a storm? How am I going to do this? And I knew that the flower shop wasn't the answer. I knew that. So back up. If something were to happen to me, I always had this overwhelming feeling of, oh my gosh, I have to have every single duck in a row, because if something happened to me, what about these kids? Like, right. I was it. And I really thought about, gosh, if something did happen to me, I'm going to leave them with this 150-year-old building on Main Street with a store full of things that, how are they going to know what to do with it all? And they're so young, and hopefully someone can sell it and get enough money to pay the bank. And it was overwhelming. And at the right. time, I was drowning. Financially, I wasn't just treading water, I was drowning. And so I knew that I had to make a change. And that was the day that I put the plan in place. And it took a couple of years to get there, because selling a business and starting a new business and all those things don't happen overnight. Right. And so one of the biggest blessings is during all of that time, my husband today, TC, and I reconnected, and he actually had, in his insurance office is across the street from my last flower shop, and we reconnected, and gosh, you know, you find out in a hurry who can handle your life and who can't, and where we had all of these friends prior to Matt's illness, there wasn't a whole lot left, and I had spent 5 years being the wife, the mom, the nurse, and that was all consuming.
Right.
And so I was just really looking for someone to spend some time with, like go golfing, go to a movie, heaven forbid, right? I had a life to live.
Right.
And I wanted kids to see that I could, we as a family could go forward. And yeah, we grieve that loss every day. We still do. And it's been 11 years. There are still things that I say, gosh, I wish he was here to see that in person. So I also knew that no one was going to sweep in on a unicorn and hand me a check to pay for my life. And I knew that if I wanted to change that, it was all up to me. I knew that no matter what skill set I was lacking, I knew I could change that. And so put that plan in place and we've made that happen.
That's amazing, Val. Okay, so one of the things that I picked up from what you just said was that you walking out with your kids gave you this like aha moment that I need to do this for them. And one of the things that I've noticed in different interviews that I've done is that when we are in service to others, it helps us break through the paralyzing grief, the overwhelm, the stuckness that we're in at the time. And you just stepping up and being like, okay, I'm a mom to these kids. I have to do this for them. I have to model this for them. I have to model strength for them. But I'm sure that that was really hard some days.
It was very hard, especially when you had the people that thought they knew what I should do.
Yes.
Instead
well-intended, I'm sure, but.
yeah. Instead of just letting me do what I thought was the best for my kids. Mm-hmm. And at the time, did I make some mistakes? Of course I did. You know, I can look back now and the kids and I can talk about that. But I will tell you that they are the happiest kids ever. So Emma, I just got to brag on them for a second because I know that all parents are proud of their kids, but whew. So Emma's a senior in college. She goes to Waverly, to Wartburg College in Waverly, Iowa. It's a Lutheran-based college. Yep. And she is a senior. She's vice president of student body. She's double majoring, double minoring. And she'll graduate in May already having a job, a full-time job. And I was so worried about that with everything. And if you ask Emma, she will say, my mom is the strongest person I know.
Yeah.
That's some pretty strong words.
That is.
Yeah.
And that's Zach, the thing. There are kids. Oh, I'm sorry. Keep talking about Zach. Tell us about Zach.
And Zach is a freshman in college. He got a full ride to wrestle Division II. So he's at Upper Iowa University in Fayette, Iowa. And Nolan is 15 and he's a freshman in high school. And gosh, those high school years are tough. I kind of want to fast forward for him so he can just go right to college.
But what you're doing though, is you're acknowledging the power of being a model for our kids and they're watching us. Right. And so they could have watched you totally give up, mm-hmm. spend your days in bed, let the bank take your stuff. Right. But instead you modeled for them the hard work, you modeled for them the perseverance. And we were sharing really quickly before we started recording about my grandma. And my grandma was one of the people who inspired me to start this podcast. She was somebody who had gone through a lot of loss in her life. And I'm going to hopefully do a podcast episode on her life here soon. But she went through a lot. And she was the most remarkable, happy, amazing, strong woman. And she reminds me a lot of you. And I wish that I would have had a chance to ask her, Grandma, how did you get through that? How did you do that? And I got to ask you this, like, Val, what wisdom can you give me to help me know that when life gives me these really big curveballs that are going to come because God promises us that we will, you know, have trials and tribulations, what advice can you give me to help me kind of go through this in the way that you were able to and model for your kids?
I think when I think back about it, I think that we had been sad for so long that it was time to set the sad aside, grieve, do the things that we needed to do, but then make a life. I was 35. They were 5, 9, and 11. There's a whole lot of life left. There's a whole nother lifetime there. And I didn't want to have that feeling the rest of my life. And right. I didn't want the kids to feel that. I wanted them to feel like, yes, this happened and it was monumental for shaping them into the people that they are today.
Yep.
But also that we can show and we can grow and we can do better and we can help people. And I think that is really the biggest thing. You know, Emma will talk to people that maybe they're young and have lost a parent or they have Lyme disease or whatever that might be. And so I can really see that through her. And I remember when Matt was diagnosed and she was a little older, not old enough, but she was, let's see, she was 6 years old when Matt was diagnosed. And I remember saying to her, honey, this is going to make us better people. We're going to be stronger. We're going to be able to help more people. And I think she's truly living out that mission.
Wow.
She has an amazing heart.
I have goosebumps because what you did was you decided that you were going to make this a gift. Mm-hmm. No matter how hard that was going to be, you were going to make it a gift in whatever way you could, whether it be how you were going to grow as a person, how you were going to be able to be of service to other people. And you literally created this legacy of strength and service. So thank you for sharing that.
Yes. And one of the things is that I didn't want them to see that if life ever happened, that they had to just lay down and accept that fate or whatever happened, you know, whatever might happen in their lifetimes. Maybe it will be when they're an adult.
Yep.
And so, yeah.
And so it starts with the choice. You have to choose. I can either, you know, set down everything and just let myself succumb to the circumstances, or I can rise above it. And you made the decision.
Yeah. And you know, I think that money isn't everything, but when you're not sure how you're going to pay your mortgage, or your kids are outgrowing their tennis shoes, and how are you going to pay for that? Right? We were not financially prepared for a life-limiting illness. We weren't. Right. And when the life insurance money came, it paid some of the debt. I had my house left, and that was it. And I knew that I never wanted to feel that again, and I didn't want other women specifically to feel that. So that even if nothing was wrong, they weren't widowed, everything was great in their life, I still want women to feel empowered enough to earn the income that they deserve.
Yes.
And to feel that so that if there is something that they want to do, they can do it.
Let me ask you this. Are you a business owner and you feel like you are literally tied to your phone all the time in order to keep up with social media? You know you need to post consistently, but you don't know what to post, and you don't want to have to post every single day because it means that you're married to your phone. So then you're not consistent, and then business doesn't follow. Or maybe you have no idea how to attract your ideal client, and you want to find a way to get the right people to come to you. Oh my goodness, like that was totally where I was. And I had to take some time and research to find out what the heck I could be doing to make my life so much better. So here's a scoop. I have found a system that I've created a system that has allowed me to not only attract my dream clients, but it's allowed me to be consistent by planning all of my content for an entire year in one single weekend. And I've decided to offer it to all of you guys. If that is something that you would love to learn more about, make sure to click on the link in the show notes so that you can learn how to get your life back, but keep your social media game on that. So no matter what stage of life you're in, maybe you are, you know, struggling financially and you know that something needs to be different. Maybe you just are struggling with a purpose and you know that something needs to change. Maybe you are, you know, there's a whole gamut of reasons why somebody would make the choice and pivot like you did when you sold the flower shops and you started your business. And so you've helped countless women be able to be business owners. And you mentioned that you like to really mentor them when they're starting out new. So take us through the process. What best advice do you give to these new people that are starting up to help them get over the fears, over the insecurities, over the things that sometimes will help or sometimes will make us stumble, I guess, when we start out on something new and scary?
Yeah. I think communication is a really big thing because we don't all work in an office together. Yeah. And so I don't know what they're feeling if we're not talking. Mm-hmm. And so I think that daily or every other day, depending on what they have going on, is great for communication. Mm-hmm. And I think after you do it for a while, you can sense if someone is struggling or they're excited or whatnot. But what I tell them right away when we start is, if you started working at Starbucks today, they're not going to leave you alone, and neither am I. They're going to teach, mentor, train you to do exactly what you need to do it the right way. And you know, I in my whole heart feel that there's a right way and a wrong way to build a consumer direct marketing business. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times, I teach them to not be the person in the grocery store that people run from, right?
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes we can give off that weird vibe about it. And I was guilty of that when I first started. I was ignorance on fire, and I learned in a hurry that we can't, don't want to do that.
And that will hold somebody back, right? So they sign up for it. Maybe they just had this moment of clarity, like, oh my gosh, something needs to change. I'm going to do this. And then, oh crap, mm-hmm. I don't want to be that person. So then now I'm going to hold back and I'm not going to do anything. So tell me, like, give me a sneak peek on how you help people to not be the person that others are running from in the grocery store.
Yeah. So I always think about, who do I want to attract? Mm-hmm. And what do those words look like? And so we talk a lot about that, you know, using the proper language, especially if I have someone that's coming from an MLM company, that mm-hmm. we use the right language, and that because posture and language are a really big thing.
Okay.
And we just have a proven way that works. And so we just walk them through that. They follow the plan, they do the things.
Yeah.
I think even more than that, it's knowing that someone believes in you.
Yes.
And knows that you can do more than what you think you can do.
Yes. Yes. That's huge. That's huge. And one of the things that I've recognized when I've mentored people who are starting businesses is that it can be sometimes really hard to be disciplined enough to do the things that we have to do every single day, even though they don't feel exciting or sexy or whatever, or maybe we have fear or mindset that's holding us back. So how do you help people establish really good habits when you're first mentoring them?
Yeah. So we look at where they want to be financially, and then we break that down. So one of the things that I work with my team a lot, and I'm sure they like get so tired of me saying it, is, do you know your numbers? And that refers to a lot of things, but essentially, what do you need to advance your business? Mm-hmm. And break that down to what you have going on and who's working and all the things. And do you know how many appointments you need to set for this to happen? And so know your numbers. Know, is it 1 out of 5? Is it 1 out of 8? Know what your specific number is, so that you know if you want to get here and you're here, then you know. And if you want to do it in this amount of time, then you know what you need to do every single day to make that happen. And just a rule of thumb is I say 5 approaches a day, and you don't do them until you go to bed at night.
Yes. So just becoming the person who always follows through.
Yeah.
And it's more about the identity of, like, I'm not going to be a quitter. I'm not going to be the person who goes to bed without having my things done. And I love how you have a goal in there, because if we're just doing the same thing every single day, day in, day out, the 5 things that you just said, and there isn't like this goal associated with it, it's easy to just get discouraged and be like, nobody's going to notice if I don't do it today. And then tomorrow it's easier to say no. And then the next day it's easier to say no.
Yeah. And I also think that it's super important to figure out the why behind the why.
Mm-hmm.
And more than the money, the why behind the money.
Yes.
So
yes.
One of the things that I like to do is, so if I was mentoring you, I would say, why do you want to build this business? Why do you want to do this? So they'll tell me this, and I'll say, so that. And then they'll tell me, and I'll say, so that. So we really get down to the bottom of it. And a lot of it comes down to, so I don't have to argue with my husband over money, or I don't have to worry about where I'm going to find the money to put my kids in wrestling or to go to Disney. Like, I really want to take my kids to Disney, but I don't know where that money's going to come from. And so that was one of the things that we did that was key for our family. So when I started building this 8 years ago, TC and I had gotten married 1 month prior. So new husband, new household. We had just built a house. We had just moved into our house. And gosh, it was a lot of new.
Yes.
And so I sat the kids down and said, this is what I'm going to do. You can pick the trip. So when mom gets here, you can pick the trip. If you help with laundry, if you help with the dishes, if you know that I'm not going to be as available as I am now. And I also think that people need to realize that no matter what you're going to do, if it's a new job, if it's a plan B, which I think everyone needs to have a plan B, especially in today's world,
right,
whatever that is, there's going to be a period of imbalance. There just is. And it's one of those things. And so I talked to the kids about that and said, you're going to have to go to dad, TC. They started calling TC dad on their own almost right away. And he adopted them about 5 years ago, 6 years ago now, which was really cool. So anyway, that was a side note. So if you can't tell, I'm super proud of all of them. So I said, you have to go to dad if you need something, like he's your first call. And I'll tell you today, 8 years later, $1.9 million later, I am still salty that they go to him. You can ask all of them. I still think that he's Nolan and Zach's favorite. And I guess I just have to learn to be okay with that. We all have a call, right? Every little boy needs a dad, and he's their hero.
That's something that's a point that I think needs to be made, because everything has its cost. Mm-hmm. And that includes staying where you're at. So there's a cost to that as well. And so, but there's also a cost for making the decision. And then you have to figure out what costs are you willing to pay in order to make something happen. And I think a lot of us just think that things are going to just happen really easily, really quickly. And it does take some sacrifice. It does take some saying no to some things. It does having to give up being the popular parent for a little bit, whatever it is that's you. Yeah. And Val, I got to just say that you owned a flower shop and now you have this successful million-dollar business. Those two skill sets weren't the same. So everything that you know now, you didn't know when you had your other business. So tell us a little bit about what you had to do to get yourself to the point where you're as successful as you are.
Yeah. So no, people came to me. My phone rang. If they needed to order flowers, I'd earned national awards for my designing. People came to me. I didn't have to advertise. And so, gosh, then switch gears and I'm reaching out to everyone for everything. And so that took a lot. I actually remember this day. I was sitting at my desk and I was thinking, okay, so I'm busy, like beyond. I have this new husband, these three kids, this flower shop, because I had to do both together for a while until I could. Once TC and I agreed, once I got here, I could call the realtor. So when the CEO of the company called and said that I had advanced to executive director, I hung up, called the realtor and said, okay, I'm ready. Today is the day. So that was a little bit. But anyway, I was sitting at my desk and I remember thinking, I'm busy. If someone reached out to me, what would make me want to open my calendar and give them some time? And that's how I developed my approach and just knew that, like I said, no one was going to change my life. That if I was going to change my life, I either had to be content where I was and get another job. So work in the evenings or my degree is in floriculture and horticulture. The thought of going back to college, I like was there for 10 seconds easy and then it was completely gone. Like, can't do it. No way.
Yeah.
And knew that that wasn't for me. And so I knew when I looked forward a year, can I do this for a year? If everything stayed exactly the same, could I do this for one more year? And would I be okay with that? And if I was okay with that, then that's one thing. But I knew that I wanted more for my life and I wanted more for my kids. And there are so many things that they had to worry on and focus about. I didn't want them to have to worry about asking me for something knowing I couldn't afford it. Yeah. And I know that kids shouldn't always know that, but they're smart. They feel it.
Yeah. And so you were willing to learn. You were willing to be open to different approaches. You were willing to be coached. And so the skill set that you had is not the same skill set that you have now.
Right.
But it's possible.
It is possible. And I tell my team this all the time. Call me. So I used to call my enroller 9, 10, 12 times a day. Legit. I would say, hey, this just happened. Walk me through this. Could I have done this better? or is it okay? What would you do in this scenario? You know, what if? And that's how I learned to do, I would take his advice, but yet I would put my spin on it and make it me, which is also what I encourage you. You don't want to be Lachelle, even though she's amazing. You don't want to be me. You want to be you. So if you can get through those core things, the right way to build your business, make it you, because people want to hear from you. Be genuine.
Yes.
They don't want to hear it in my words or Lachelle's words. They want to hear it in the way you would speak to them. Just making sure you're using the right language.
100%. And so if you are doing something like this or thinking about doing something like this, I want people to listen to this. We as mentors want you to reach out to us, because it shows us that you're eager to learn and that you're coachable and that you're willing to do what it takes to make yourself successful. I don't want to chase people down. I love it when I get phone calls and text messages, because it's so fun to serve. It's so fun to watch people grow. And so you're never a bother. And I want you to know that, like, when you do something like this, to just lean into it, learn it, reach out to the people who are investing in you and want you to succeed. And thank you for reminding us of that. So, Val, we are just having the most amazing conversation. I wish we could talk all day long, but I know that everybody that's listening to this has a billion things going on. So I would love to just wrap up our conversation with a question that you would like our audience to ponder that will help them get from where they are to where they want to be.
What are the things that you are willing to do today to change your life for the future?
I love that. I love that. And I will make sure that all of our audience gets a chance to follow you. We'll put all of your contact stuff in the show notes. Thank you so, so much, sweet friend, for sharing your heart and your inspiration. I'm so grateful that you're in my life.
Same. Thank you.
Bye, hon. Thanks for listening. And if you know that you are made for more, and you are tired of being held back and ready to get unstuck and step boldly into a life that you're meant to live, head on over to LachelleWeamy.com, request an appointment, and be ready for me to walk alongside of you personally to help you step boldly into the life that you are meant to live. I'll be back next week, but before you go, don't forget to hit subscribe and enjoy these imperfect outtakes.